Hello and welcome to the Layman's Guide to the Multiverse, where we dive between the panels and break through the fourth wall. My name is Ed, and I'm joined on this week's episode by Mike.
Hello.
And Paulo.
Hello.
So you might be wondering where Matt's been. We've actually hired some really high-end, some of the best private investigators in the world. He's unfortunately missing. We have been able to bankroll this, though, due to all the money that Paulo's been getting.
Have been embezzling money from the Patreon that we don't have.
Yeah. I mean,
all
as
of the merch that we have not put out.
So it's funny you say that. There are shorts with my face on them.
Oh, that's good.
That's terrifying.
Smack dab. Is it terrifying? It's smack dab on the crotch.
Yeah, there's a hat with my pants on it too.
There's a hat with your pants on it.
Yeah.
Is the hat made of your pants?
No,
I'll never tell.
There's a specific picture of you, Ed, that I have in my memory of pictures that we've taken, pictures that we've ever taken together. That is the face that I imagine as it's, the underwear face.
Excuse you, it's shorts. But two, even though there wasn't a one, it's probably that.
They're boxers now. I'm going to make millions.
Yeah. I hope these shorts sell well because we really got to find Matt. We cannot, with Paulo embezzling all this money and refusing to pay for our private investigator, Matt's might be in deep shit. I don't know. We'll have to find out.
He paid for my movie tickets, by the way. I literally went to the movies last week just to watch Guardians of the Galaxy on the Layman's Guide to the Multiverse dime. Because you guys for that money that you're letting me embezzle. Here
that's,
for it.
That's shopping smart.
That's S-smart. No, it's funny that you mentioned Guardians, though. We're talking Guardians 3.
The third one?
Yes.
I mean, I believe that's after Volume 2 and Volume 1, right?
With the way Marvel works, you're not too sure.
You know what? You're not wrong.
Wow.
So this movie, and I gotta say, this movie does a great job of finally completing the story arc that James Gunn started with the first Guardians movie.
It finishes the story?
It's a trilogy?
It does finish the story. So one of the things, so I have to mention this because I think... if you were not invested in these characters in the first place, you probably will not enjoy this third movie.
Paulo, how can I invest in anything when you embezzle all of our funds?
Yeah. I'm working on couch change, okay?
You guys can keep investing. It's fine. Like, you'll figure it out. Like, this is just layman's guide money. It's okay. I'm not taking your actual money. These are layman's bucks.
Wait, but then why'd you have me sign that contract and give you my PIN number and my banking? Like, why'd you make me do that?
Yeah, you definitely have me sign an NDA, so I can't talk about anything.
These are all standard business practices. It's fine, guys. Like, you guys, now that Matt's gone and, like, I'm the only one who knows about business, it's fine. You guys can trust me.
I did forget you went to business school.
I implicitly trust you because of your business certificate on your wall.
I have a business certificate. I absolutely have a business certificate on my wall. After a business.
It's his master. He drew it up himself on a napkin.
But I trust it. He put a stamp on it.
This is my master of business degree certificate. Do trust me.
It's official. I do. Implicitly.
But I did go see Guardians. Like, I have been a fan of the Guardians franchise portion of the MCU since the first Guardians came out. Like, I know you guys, we weren't doing the podcast at the time, I don't believe. But when I got home from watching that first Guardians movie, I was like, this is absolutely glorious.
I loved the first one.
That first one is so good. The second one, I can arguably say is... at least in my opinion, is not as good as the first one, but there are a lot of story beats that are very, very just kind of important to the growth of the characters as they're progressing through the story. I want to say that as a result of the third one is I spent most of that movie crying. I got to be honest with you.
That's not. Fine.
I think not because the movie is sad. Don't get me wrong. It's super sad. Like, I don't know if you've heard some of the things that PETA has been saying.
What? PETA is, no.
Yeah. No. Okay. Fun fact. PETA wants to give James Gunn an award for this.
Oh.
Because of the undertones of animal of the portrayal of animal cruelty in this movie.
Oh, but PETA is a horrible organization that treats animals horribly.
Yeah, no, PETA is a horrible organization. So it's a mixed bag. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, there are horrible undertones of animal cruelty in this movie. Like, I cannot begin to tell you how horrible some of the fucking the stuff that happens to animals in this movie are. You don't see them, but they're all implied.
Got it.
Okay.
Like somebody slap around Rocket? Like, what's going on here?
Yes, for one.
He is a superhero, right?
Here's the thing. He doesn't start off as a superhero in this movie.
Oh,
is it one of those like he ends up losing his his power set
like Metroid? Before I begin, I want you to take note of the time. I believe we are I don't know, maybe like 15, 20 minutes into the recording. Will be some spoilers. I don't want to say major because I'm gonna do my best to avoid major spoilers. In case people want to see this movie, who are listening to this before they go see the movie. If you've seen the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about based on what I'm saying. But spoiler alert, beginning as of right now, this moment.
Spoilers.
So the story is actually, the heart of the story revolves around the flashbacks in regard to Rocket and finding out his entire backstory.
Got it. So he starts off intelligent.
The movie starts off like post the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special.
Okay.
So the story starts at that point, but something happens in the movie that we end up having to go through. You learn Rocket's backstory as a result of everything that the Guardians have to go through to do what they have to do in the story. Okay. I know that seems very like broad and kind of like non-committal, but that's because I don't want to spoil the events of the first like 10-15 minutes of the movie.
Got it.
But essentially you get Rocket's entire backstory told in flashbacks. And to be quite honest, like here's a throwback to Mike, and this might, I don't know if this will make you want to watch the movie more or want to watch it less.
Okay.
It felt very Wii 3.
Okay. I enjoyed Wii 3 quite God. A bit.
Yeah. No, but like the experimentation of the animals, the idea of animals gaining sentience and not understanding what's happening to them. Horrible. Yeah, the High Evolutionary as a villain is not like your standard Marvel flair, but the actions that this man takes to achieve his goals are horrendous.
Do you want to give a quick, like, for those that don't know, do you want to give a quick rundown of who he is?
Yeah, the High Evolutionary.
The High Evolutionary is a dude who thinks he's God and is trying to build like the perfect society. At least this is what he is in the movie.
Okay. Cause I was going to say what's interesting is the guy who's the High Evolutionary, just like the dude, mm-hmm. Herbert Wyndham.
Mm-hmm.
When he was a student at Oxford in the 1930s.
Oh yeah. He worked with Mr. Sinister.
Yeah. He got really interested in evolution due to reading Nathaniel Essex's works.
He's an alien in this movie. Gotcha. But he's still human, like he's still a humanoid alien because humans just live out in space in the Marvel universe. Like
it's fine
as they do, right? Whatever.
Yeah, the Starjammers.
Yeah, exactly. But he does drop the hint at one point of the movie that he has been to Earth before. If I'm honest, that is probably the only story beat that in any way, shape, or form leads back to the larger MCU as a whole. This movie is very self-contained.
Love that.
That is great.
It's fantastic because the only thing you need to know is that the Guardians have existed beforehand, and the first and second movie and the Christmas special has happened.
Okay. Yeah, Christmas is in space. Christmas is real.
Christmas right? is real. Drax and Mantis like literally kidnap Kevin Bacon to try to because they believe that he'll save Christmas for Peter Quill. It's fine.
It's great.
You think I'm kidding? What happened.
I know.
I don't know if you watched it.
I haven't seen it, but I know if it's a good Christmas special, they do end up saving Christmas.
Spoilers for the Christmas special. It's about them kidnapping Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Kevin Bacon actually being in the movie, in the Christmas special.
Playing himself,
yes.
Well, how is he supposed to save Christmas if he's not in the movie?
Ooh, accurate.
Yeah. And then finding out he's really an actor and not a hero.
They're like, wait a minute.
And, it's a standard fact. Everybody hates actors. Like, it's fine.
Oh, there you go.
Everybody hates actors, so it's fine. That's right. But I'll put it like this. At the end of the movie, for this movie, everybody goes through the shit. And essentially what I mean by that is the characters of the Guardians, the current Guardians as they are, you know, when we refer to them, that is Peter Quill, that is Gamora, that is Rocket, Groot, Drax, and Mantis. Because spoiler alert for Infinity War, Gamora gets killed at the end of Infinity War, in the beginning of Infinity War, and then in the second one,
in Endgame.
A version of her from the past comes to the future, and now it's a different Gamora, essentially, who lives in the current Marvel timeline.
Is
so Nebula not a part of their group?
Oh, sorry, Nebula. Yes, Nebula, not Gamora. Nebula. Yeah, Nebula. She's another. Okay, so I'll tell you right now, the characters that steal the movie are Nebula, because she is just incredible. Like, Karen Gillan is so good as Nebula.
Gotcha.
And there's so much growth for that character as well. Rocket, essentially Bradley Cooper playing Rocket, just the voice of that damn who finally he finds out why, like, we find out why he hates being called a raccoon so much.
Mm. Okay.
So there's acceptance to that towards the end of it, and just kind of like as you find out through the backstory. And as I was speaking before, it's basically everybody coming to terms with their trauma experience, where they start at the beginning of the first Guardians, going through it in the second Guardians, and finally coming to terms with the fact that there is life after their traumas, and now it's time to live those lives.
Okay, so does Peter Quill then just decide to go for a run, and then he's just over it?
Yeah, he goes back to Earth. Just to give you a spoiler, he just goes back to Earth.
He goes back to Earth. And he cheats on his wife.
Then just gets really, really into religion again.
Exactly. It's fine.
And then voices Mario. Hey, it's me.
This is Italian appropriation, OV.
And fuck Chris Pratt. I'm saying fuck that guy.
He's good at the movie. Like, I can't listen. I can't fault it. Like, the portrayal of Peter Quill is good. Like, I enjoy this. And honestly, one of the biggest things that they make a point of saying is essentially the character of Peter Quill is this buffoon, at least in terms of like what we've come to see him in the Marvel Universe. But he plays that to his advantage. Like, he's so used to everybody seeing him as a buffoon that when he does have plans and actual plans that work out, you're just like, that's absolutely going to work, because nobody would have seen it coming from him.
It's a lot like the Booster Gold thing.
Yeah. That's actually, which kills me, because now that I'm thinking about it, Chris Pratt would have made a really good Booster Gold.
He would have
made a real good Booster Gold.
Don't curse Booster Gold like this. Don't do this.
Well, before everything that happened with before we found out about all this other stuff, and like, quite frankly, it is what it is.
Yeah, no, right, 100%.
He would have made a real interesting Booster Gold, honestly.
Booster Gold. Okay, yeah. I was thinking, I don't know enough about Booster Gold, but I'm like, I would just suggest Bill Hader, but I just love Bill Hader.
Maybe it's all right. Nobody knows much about Booster Gold because he's the greatest superhero who you've never heard of.
Hey, he's a future janitor.
He is.
He's a janitor, he's a janitor from the future. Like,
He's a former football player who turned janitor.
I love him.
It's incredible. Not for nothing, Bill Hader is Booster Gold. I love it.
Yeah.
Do we though? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I just love Bill Hader.
I love Bill Hader too, but I don't know if he'd do Booster Gold.
I don't. I feel like he could pull it off. Or just have him play Barry as Booster Gold.
Listen, let's not get started on like the actors that we want to play and need to play things, because a lot of the actors that we, if I'm quite honest with you, that we are so used to like wanting to see for roles are getting older. Just like all of these stories that we're seeing.
Yeah, that's true.
Again, that's one of the things that I bring up about this movie. It's self-contained. And if I'm quite honest, James Gunn made it a point to essentially disband the team at the end of this movie.
They're done. There's no volume four.
At least the current team. There will be no volume four, at least with this iteration of the Guardians.
Whoa. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a really nice throwback to the original Guardians from like the comics towards the end of the movie. I don't want to spoil too much more out of that. You'll if you go see it, you'll see what you'll take notice of what I'm mentioning.
Yeah.
But there's a really strong sense of finality to this movie, which is something that you don't get in any of the other Marvel movies. Every other Marvel movie is a setup for the next fucking movie, is a setup for the next story that's gonna happen. Yep. It's always like, just get ready for what happens next. Even in the mid-credit scenes, it's not a setup for anything.
I heard that. I heard people were really fucking mad about it too. They're like, oh, he's fucking mid-credit stingers, or they're pointless now. And I'm like, but that's not what this was. This was James Gunn going, thank you, goodbye.
Exactly. And that's what he did. And that's why I felt such a strong finality to the story, that it you know, these characters are still in the universe, right? They can show up. They absolutely can show up. But this story, what happened with these characters is done. They are done. They have done everything they needed to do as a major part of who they were in the Guardians of the Galaxy storyline, and they will not continue with that story. Even Rocket, though, like towards the end of the movie, like you realize what's going to happen and what's going on. It's not the same thing as it was before. They are different people from where they started, and that's the reason they are no longer like the Guardians, so to speak.
No, and like from a, I don't want to say from a meta sense, but from like you were just saying, these actors are getting older. Like, Batista doesn't want to play Drax anymore. He's like, I'm in my 50s. I'm tired of taking my shirt off.
Yeah. And like, Batista deserves to do something else. Like, he's great in just as an actor. He's great. Stop playing Drax. Stop playing this buffoon character that you've been playing this whole time. Yeah. It's great. And he, like, and I'll be honest, he's another character that, like, it's a lot of the same things, but I think there's more growth of how people see him during this movie than who the actual character is.
Okay.
So I don't want to do the whole spoiler bit. Like, I don't want to tell you everything that happens. But right, like at the end of the movie, you recognize who, like, how far these characters have come from who they are. And like there's an end credit scene where towards the end of the movie, there is a scene that like threw everybody for a loop, and I think everybody missed the point of the scene. So we actually hear Groot say something family. Other than I am
he
Groot.
He says family, right?
Oh, I know.
He has to say family.
Okay, I wish he would have, because I would have been like, I would have fucking gotten out of my chair in the movie theater and
just screaming. Just screaming.
Like, yeah. No, he basically says, I fucking love you guys.
Oh, that's adorable.
Right, I kind of wish he said that verbatim in Vin Diesel's deep voice.
Yeah, like, no, I wish it was too.
I fucking love you guys.
No, but he says it as Groot. He says it as Groot. It's Vin Diesel's deep voice with the Groot thing on there.
I love it.
So it is still like Vin Diesel saying it. But essentially what James Gunn was trying to do, and a lot of people miss this, is that you who are at you as a viewer outside of the story have finally grown enough with the characters that are part of this story to understand everything that Groot's saying.
Oh, I guess he is saying that makes sense. Because Rocket translated for him in the past.
Exactly. Rocket. Yeah, so think about it like this. Rocket, you're close enough now to these characters to understand what he's saying at this point. Because if you notice, like, all the characters started to understand Groot as they go. So, like, they never explain it. Like, why do they suddenly are able to understand him? Like, Rocket used to translate for him, right? So. Yep. All of a sudden people like none of the other guys understood him. In the second movie, Peter starts to understand him. Gamora starts to understand him. All the other characters little by little start to understand him as they go. And by this point, by the third movie, you know, Gamora, you actually make a point to mention Gamora can't understand the new Gamora can't understand him. Doesn't know anything of what he's saying, but everyone else on the team understands him.
That's fun.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's very meta, but like, honestly, like it goes to tell you the story that James Gunn was trying to tell. Now, obviously, it's not going to be for everybody. I can't like tell you that like you're going to go and love this movie. If you're a person who enjoyed the first two Guardians movies, you're going to love it. Like, you're just going to feel, if you connected with these characters in any way, you're just going to be like, this is such a great ending to a story that like a contained story, because everything with the Guardians has always felt just outside of all the other stuff that's happening in the MCU,
except when they do link it to the rest of it, but
right when they linked it, right? But even that, like, they mention it in this movie, they bring it back, and even like Peter Quill mentions the fact like why he did what he did with Thanos. But it's not like they it's obviously just something that happened to them. It's not part of the main story. It's not part of the main story that James Gunn's been trying to tell.
Right. Yeah. Infinity War was its own thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I guess that's where that comes from. I don't know. Like, I do not think this movie did any wrong. I have very few like minimal gripes with it. And if I could think of anything, it's not coming to me right now. I probably should have taken notes, but let's be honest, I was too busy holding back tears the entire movie. Oh, and like, that's awesome. By the end of the movie, I was openly weeping, but like, it wasn't like weeping like those ugly tears of sadness. It was like it was like tears of like grief and happiness.
Yeah, it did. You got the payoff you wanted. Exactly. You were along for the ride. You were along for the ride. It gave you the payoff you wanted, and it struck an emotional chord.
Exactly. 100%. 100%. And it goes to like what I'm saying about like the perception that you have, like how you feel towards when you're watching these movies. Like, I think I'm in a place with like all my health stuff and everything that's happened to me. I was very traumatized by a lot of the stuff that's happened to me in the past year. So watching these characters who I have seen go through their horrible traumas, like Peter Quill essentially being kidnapped as a child and being raised like a fucking thief by a bunch of pirates his whole life, Gamora and all her shit dealing with Thanos, Nebula and all the horrible things that happened to her, Drax essentially being like having his family ripped away from him, Mantis constantly wanting a family. And to grow from like where she was before, Rocket finally coming to peace with who he truly is. All of that kind of, like you said, it came full circle. It came full circle. I got the payoff that I'd been looking for. And it just gives you hope that even after everything that may have happened to you, or if you've experienced some shitty things in your life, that you can come around the other end and still live a life afterwards. Or at least that's the message that I got.
I love it.
No, that's fucking fantastic. Honestly, so, that makes me want to go watch Guardians 2 and then watch this movie.
Yeah, watch all four things of the Guardians. Watch 1, 2, the Christmas special, and 3. The Christmas special is not that great. Like, it's funny. It's like, it's very much just Drax and Mantis being stupid.
Yeah, it's a Christmas special. Like,
it's a Christmas special. Yeah. Like, it's arguably one of the best, some of the best Christmas music I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm quite honest, like, it's a great Christmas. There's some great Christmas songs.
Got Jingle Bell Rock?
No, no, none of the standard ones. I'm out. None of the standard ones.
Is there a version of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas?
No, yeah. There is not. Thank God. I used to work in retail. I don't ever want to hear that song ever again.
Is Mariah Carey in this movie at all?
Yeah. No, she's not. Thank God.
Oh.
Why even bother them, you know?
Why even bother them?
Yeah. I'm going to write a complaint letter to Disney.
Yeah, and then let me know when you're done, because I'm just gonna go end it. You know,
I will tell you. I will tell you this. People,
that's dark. I'm sorry. Don't do that.
Yeah, no. Please don't. People will be like the huge Adam Warlock fans will be disappointed by Adam Warlock,
and even the small Adam Warlock fans.
Are there big Adam Warlock fans?
I
like the name.
I promise. Oh, you, it's dope. There are huge Adam Warlock fans out there. There have to be.
So statistically,
my favorite thing about Adam Warlock is his origin.
Uh-huh.
What's his origin?
So Steve Ditko,
love it.
You know, Spider-Man creator.
That guy was wacky, dude.
Yeah, among other things, right? But co-creator Spider-Man. He was really big on Ayn Rand and
not a good person
and objectivism. So, like, Jack Kirby was just so sick of hearing him talk about it. He was like, fuck you, and made Adam Warlock as a way to kind of just, like, stick it to him. Adam Warlock in his origin isn't referred to as Adam Warlock. He's just referred to as him, and was created by a bunch of these, like, objective scientists, right? They create this guy, and he's super into objectivism. So, like, as he's born, it's like, ah, cool, this is great. Decides to murder all of his creators right off the bat.
There you go.
There you go. That's the way.
That's
we love that.
We love that for you, bestie. Thanks, Adam Warlock.
Not a thing that happens in this movie.
Wow.
Yeah. No, they like he what's it called? He has like a one or two like, you know, appearances in I think in the 60s. He doesn't really get a real run until Jim Starlin picks him up.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I think, why where people like the fans actually start for Adam Warlock, because I promise you there are people out there who are fans of this character.
Yeah. Yeah. He's essentially Space Jesus. Like Jim Starlin just tells a Space Jesus story. It's ridiculous.
I personally do not understand their like of this character. He seems OK.
So the through line of what makes this character interesting, mm-hmm. At some point he long story short, because he really is a Jesus allegory.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up, and it might not be Jim Starlin's run. It might be a run with a different character or a different writer. There was a writer in between his initial run and then the Jim Starlin stuff I'm talking about. And I forget the guy's name. It's like Pete or something.
Okay.
Or something Peters. Because Jim Starlin ends up like using Adam Warlock as a way to get back at Marvel, and like their whole like you're a freelancer, so anything you write is ours. Like you don't own it.
Rude, right?
Yeah. So he ends up using this to kind of stick it to him. The point that I was going to make was, I mean, so like I said, he's essentially spatial. I'm completely losing my train of thought. This is fantastic.
Yeah, you're doing great. I think it's a little bit weird that a character that started off as this Ayn Rand objectivist character becomes a Jesus allegory, because that's like not what Jesus is about. He's not Jesus isn't like
So
hey, every man for himself. Like, you, hey, I'm not going to feed you with all these breads and fishes. These are my breads and fishes.
Yeah, yeah. That's what that second writer ends up doing. Because he was super into, he was trying to, he used Adam Warlock as a way to like navigate his own faith, which was interesting.
It is weird that you start at that point, though. Man, that's something to unpack. That's something to unpack.
So glad they dumped all of that.
Yeah. Oh, good. So the point I was going to make was he ends up, Adam Warlock ends up confronting himself. He ends up taking, I think, a bounty to go like fight like I forget what the villain's name is. It looks like the Conqueror or something. It's a generic Marvel name.
Oh, the
Kang?
No,
what's Kang the Conqueror?
No, not Kang the Conqueror. But when he goes to go fight this guy, he's like, oh shit, it's me. And it's him from the future. Right. And it's him from the future. And he's a completely broken mess of a person. And it's just like, oh, you're here to kill me. Good. Please do it. Put me out of my misery. I can't fucking take this.
Wow.
So he like begrudgingly does, because he's just like, I was here to do a job and I'm going to do the job.
Magus.
I think you're right.
Magus. Yes.
So yeah, so he essentially kills himself. And that, like, that part of the story ends. They're like, oh, you know, here's your reward for all that. And he's like, oh, great, cool. But this is how I die. Like, what brought me to the point where I was that broken?
That's kind of fun.
And the thing that did it was him killing himself, because he can't get that thought out of his head.
What an Ouroboros kind of Ouroboros type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went crazy because I went crazy and had to kill myself because I went crazy and had to kill myself.
Oh, maybe because I killed myself and went crazy.
Because I killed myself and went crazy. Yes.
That, I mean, it's less crazy wild. And more horribly depressed, but like, yeah.
That's wild and horrible.
I don't know, because it's also weird. Was this pre like multiverse kind of shit? Because like, did he just kill Earth 616 Adam Warlock or a different version of himself, and he just keeps on killing versions of himself, like kind of like the one where you get stronger each time?
That would be awesome, though. But no, it was just the future him.
Future him. Okay.
Which gets really interesting when you start to think about it, because in the Marvel universe, like, future is, could or not be another universe, like 2099,
yeah,
a whole other universe, as opposed to like just the future of the Marvel universe.
And
the 616 universe.
Look at Cable. Oh, you mean this 1612?
1612, yeah, that one.
Yeah,
Quick aside. Fun little factoid about 1612.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman wrote that because he wanted to write a story. So he wrote it around like after 9/11, and wanted to write a story with superheroes that could possibly inspire somebody, but wasn't anywhere near modern times. Like he didn't want to have any like giant buildings in it.
Oh,
I like that.
So I didn't realize that was Gaiman, because I read that.
That was Gaiman
way before I knew who Gaiman even was. Oh, that's fantastic.
So good. I still love 1612.
It was a good time. I really enjoyed it.
I think it's got a bad third act, but. That's just me.
Yeah, that's fair. It's been a while. I'd have to reread it. I forget a lot of the minor details.
That's the point where Raja shows up, right?
Is he the what's his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Spoilers for I guess mild spoilers, because we're not actually spoiling anything, but like,
yeah.
You know.
We find out who Raja is.
Yeah. It's pretty obvious if you're looking at him, like.
I read it with my eyes closed. It blew me away.
But no, he is a he is the sovereign space Jesus, so to speak.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
If you watch the second movie, basically the character of Adam Warlock is just the sovereign's like ultimate person. But they took him out before he was ready, so he's a giant baby child.
He's a little baby.
Giant man before he was ready.
Yeah.
He's just doughy bread.
Yeah. You put him in there, you set the oven to 450, and you wait like 30 minutes.
Yeah, well, they only made it 25. Right.
Yeah.
His if anything, his brain wasn't ready. He wasn't fully developed, you know, to handle cognitive thought, and difficult concepts like good and evil.
Whoa.
Like what's good and what's bad, so to speak.
Right.
That's kind of where they went with that. It had nothing to do with his body not being ready. But basically
Roy Thomas was the guy I was thinking of. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying like that's I think the biggest qualm that a lot of people will have about Adam Warlock and basically not being the Adam Warlock that they expect from the comics. I have literally only read one thing with Adam Warlock in it, and that was the Infinity Gauntlet.
There you go.
Yeah, he plays a huge part in that.
Does he though?
He's there.
He's there, and like that one weird little goblin dude, Puck, is there too.
Wait, you mean Puck, like the fucking Alpha Flight dude?
Yeah, No, not Puck. Pack. It's something with a P. He's got a little buddy who's like a goblin centaur kind of dude.
A goblin?
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay. Nobody's doing it like us. Rated Infinity Gauntlet. Weird. Goblin Man. What other podcast does live Google searches? Like, let's go.
All of them, I think.
Okay, so I love that I searched Infinity Gauntlet Weird Goblin Man, and the first image I get is like some AI generated green goblin.
That's a good search result.
Yeah, I guess. Like, not what I'm looking for.
Willem Dafoe, more like Willem Dafriend, right?
Gauntlet, Adam Warlock, Adam.
I don't like this picture.
I don't either.
Is it Peck or Puck? I don't.
Peck sounds right.
Peck, I think it's Peck.
Is it a bird?
No, he's a little goblin centaur looking dude, man.
Does
That's
he have a beak?
Terrifying.
You talking about Doppelganger?
No.
Okay.
His name is Gobbleganger.
No, I think it is Puck. It's just a different version of Puck.
It's Puck.
Is it?
Yeah. Is this guy? Is this him?
Is it Puck? I don't know. Isn't?
Yeah, I think that's the dude.
Yeah,
it looks like him. Yeah.
It's just an evil version of Puck.
There you go.
That's terrible. That's horrifying. Also gross. But like, Infinity Gauntlet. Thinking back when I read Infinity Gauntlet, now I do want to say the Russo brothers did it better.
Wow, that's a strong stance.
I probably will get hate for it because like it is a classic.
It's apples and oranges, though. You know, it's fruit, so you can compare them. But like, you get what I'm saying. Like
all right, yeah. let's be honest. Okay, the motivation for Thanos doing what he does with the Infinity Gauntlet in the comics is because he wants to bone the death.
He wants to impress his girlfriend from Canada that totally exists. You just haven't met her.
You haven't met her. She's real.
Yeah, yeah, she's real.
She's super hot. She's got a skeleton face.
I mean, like, and a real hot bot underneath the fucking the robes. Like like Deadpool dates her. We know this.
Yeah.
The fact that Deadpool cucks Thanos is incredible.
Oh my god. Yeah, it is great.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right. You're right.
That is a statement.
You're right.
That is a factual statement that I cannot refute. Deadpool absolutely cucks Thanos.
It's what Thanos deserved.
For like his petty bullshit, absolutely.
Yeah, and then he gets even pettier because he's like, yeah, you know what? You can't die because of your regeneration, but I'm gonna make sure even if you do, you can't.
Incredible.
Honest to God, like one of the greatest scenes in comic books for me is when God Emperor Doom rips Thanos his skull and back out, fucking Mortal Kombat style.
He literally blows his back out.
My God.
I do love that. I do love the Avengers versus Justice League comic where
Darkseid fucking
I forget who shows up on Apocalypse, but like each team of heroes is they're tasked with getting these like cosmic artifacts, and one of them is the Infinity Gauntlet, right? And I think it's like Quicksilver or something that like he ends up running into Apocalypse and is like, holy shit, I don't know who this guy is, but he's way fucking worse. He looks like way fucking worse than Thanos, and it's Darkseid holding the Infinity Gauntlet, and he's just like,
oh,
I don't know what this fucking bitch ass toy is, but I don't fucking want it because it doesn't do anything. I don't
do shit in this universe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then fucking Desaad explains that to him. He's like, yeah, no, this can warp reality and like do a bunch of stuff, just not this reality. And he's like, all right, well, this glove sucks. Get it away from me.
This sucks. Yeah. This is pre couch dark side, right?
Yeah. No. This is post couch dark side.
Post couch. Okay. Got it. Yeah.
What's crazy? Pre couch dark side.
Okay. So. Anything like pre-couch Darkseid? There's only like one or two scenes pre-couch.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
What Hacker's talking about, and we're getting a little off topic, but it's fine.
Very.
Explaining this scene is fantastic.
I've said everything I need to say about Guardians. It's fine. Continue with post and pre-couch Darkseid, please.
So when Jack Kirby's explaining the fourth world, and like the new, like New Genesis, and we're following the Forever People. They keep talking about like because these characters haven't really been introduced yet. They just keep talking about like the Lord of Evil and the big bad and everything. And you hear the name Darkseid, and like I think you see a silhouette of him like standing how he does with his arms behind his back. But you don't really see him. He's built up as this fucking badass, right? So like the Forever People, they get Orion and they're running around and doing whatever they're doing. I offhand don't remember. But they end up, they're trying to dodge Darkseid and the rest of like Apocalypse's minions that are on Earth. So they're like, all right, we're going to run back to whoever's apartment. I forget if it's Scott Free or if it's somebody else's apartment, which is like one of the humans that's helping them. And they're like, oh, you know, good thing nobody knows about this place. And when they walk in, Darkseid's just chilling on their couch like, yo, it's good.
He's just flayed out. He's having a great time.
He's hanging out. He's like, yeah, I've been expecting you. How's it going?
Nice guy.
I just wanted to let you know. I've been following you the whole time.
I'm the ultimate god of evil. I'm out.
Yeah. See you later. And then he just boom tooms out of there.
Wait, why? He just doesn't do anything and just boom tooms out of there?
Well, it's essentially, I mean, I'm going to make the reference that nobody else is going to get. It's what you do with in our Curse of Strahd campaign when you have Strahd show up.
Yeah. It's a flex.
Yeah. Okay. Darkseid is flexing on these guys.
I appreciate that. Also, I'm consistently now envisioning my big bad evil guy just showing up and sitting on your couch.
Hey, but that's our couch. Hey, yeah. Stop it.
Yeah, so this image is a callback to the other one.
Is it? Oh, okay, so it's not the original.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I think like Grant Morrison did one, right? Like where...
Yeah, the image that Paolo just posted is a Frank Quitely like redone.
Yeah.
Image.
Yeah. No. It's funny. Like, I looked at the it's just, unfortunately, from a Screen Rant article. Darkseid's recurring couch gag only makes him more terrifying.
Yeah. Like, it's so stupid, but it's amazing.
Just constantly showing up on a couch. It's fine.
And just showing up to flex on your furniture. Like, okay, this is adorable.
That absolutely feels like something that a villain of that magnitude should do. Like, I really wish in the Zack Snyder version of Justice League,
holy shit,
if Superman came back and like came back to see Lois, and like they have this sweet tender moment, and they walk into the Kent house, like the what's left of the Kent farm, and Darkseid's just chilling on the couch.
That'd be too good.
Darkseid's just asleep on Pa Kent's Lazy Boy, like.
How's that for you, fucking Zack Snyder?
I love it.
He wakes up like, and then goes into his evil bad guy monologue.
That's so good.
I'm here for it, honestly. That feels like a Zack Snyder thing.
Yeah.
I just wrote a Zack Snyder deleted scene.
It's perfect.
It's in the 6.5-hour cut, the ultimate Zack Snyder cut.
This one's in super black and white.
Super black and white. That's the only reason that they could do it, because now they can afford the fucking the special effects for it.
The darks are darker and the whites are brighter.
Hey.
The ultimate dark side Zack Snyder ultimate edition of the Justice League
cut. Incredible.
It's in its 4 hours of Darkseid sleeping on Pa Kent's Lazy Boy.
I think now that James Gunn's in charge of the universe, we're gonna get a couch gag. We have to eventually get a couch gag
for Darkseid. I hope so.
We have
now
to.
Now that I know about it, I don't know how I didn't know about this. I really don't know how I didn't know about this until you told me just now.
How did I know about the couch thing?
Universe. Then I'm obviously not a fan because I didn't know about this fucking couch gag.
Yeah, I knew about it, then you didn't. That's crazy.
Because I forget what this is, like, what that art's from.
This one? I think this one's from the Mr. Miracle run, maybe. No, it doesn't look like the Mr. Miracle art. There's another one here. Oh, there's another. Oh, I found another one that's kind of just as funny. It's, for those of you who are not, are listening to us, obviously, because all you can do is listen to us. It's him on a purple couch. Drinking a nice glass of scotch.
And he's saying, Papa squat, Scott.
As Mr. Miracle walks into his own home.
That's right. I did just notice that that's Mr. Miracle's fucking mask at the fucking
Darkseid will sit on your furniture.
He will not take his shoes off. Sign of a real villain.
A monster.
I always ask if I have to take off my shoes before walking in. Always.
Hey. Darkseid's a monster.
Ed knows this. Man. Going over his house every Monday night, I'm always like, shoes off, right? Yeah, okay. Not some fucking...
Did you say that like I have a gun pointed at you? Like, shoes off already, I forgot. Put the gun down.
That's something they haven't quite perfected on Apocalypse, is a good couch. So when Darkseid can take the opportunity, he will sit on your good couch.
Oh, he'll do it.
Yeah, he'll get there.
I almost want to ask Google, how many couches has Darkseid set?
How many apartments has Darkseid ruined?
Oh, what a rat bastard.
That is a question that Google decided I needed to autocomplete for me. I put in how many couches has Darkseid, and then it just filled in sat on.
Perfect.
Why is Darkseid doing this? Oh, is that the original one?
No, this is also Frank Whiteley.
Why do we have so many Darkseid gags?
Just enough furniture, bro.
There's another one where he's sitting next with one of the Marvels.
It's probably Mary, right?
Yeah, it's probably Mary. Oh, hold on. This is the... I was supposed to be... I think I found the original one. Damn, that is old artwork, though. Is that... Darkseid always looked like one of those Easter Island heads back in the day.
Yeah.
Accurate. When they used to draw him. I don't know. All I know is James Gunn absolutely needs to give us a Darkseid on the couch gag.
Yeah, I hope we get up to like a big bad like Darkseid. I think that'd be kind of fun, because like I know that was like, I guess, the original plan, or we were eventually going to get there like with the original DCU, but who, like, that shit was plagued with interference, so who knows, you know?
Yeah, I mean, with James Gunn, and this is just, I guess, me being a fan, with him being a fucking Grant Morrison fanboy.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that. Oof.
I'm interested enough in whatever is going on.
Yeah, I gotta say, I am also. I really hope that there's... I mean, I don't know. The fatigue is real. I will say this.
100%. 100%.
Like that superhero movie fatigue is, even for a diehard like me, is starting to hit me. I'm honestly, the only movie that's coming out that I'm really sad that I will not be able to go see opening night is Across the Spider-Verse.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that one. Oh, my gosh.
I will not be able to go see that opening night, so, because I will be traveling. So,
got it.
Yeah. And I don't think they have movie theaters at the beach.
Not with that attitude.
You can project stuff into the ocean.
I'm sure, but I don't have a copy of that movie.
Not yet.
All right. Yeah. Listen,
you could use all those embezzled funds. You can buy one.
Yeah.
I wish I was that rich. It's fine. Join our Patreon. Help me embezzle money.
Yeah.
Links in the description.
Where? Oh, wait. No, I'm not. I can't see it because we're not there. Okay. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
All right, everybody. All right.
Good night, guys.
Good night.